Good to see everyone back with us tonight. We're glad that you're here, and we hope you've brought your Bibles to study God's Word together. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20 tonight. Perhaps you recognize that passage of Scripture. It's known, we refer to it sometimes as the Great Commission. And perhaps at the end of my lessons, you've been hearing me say the plan of salvation and that Jesus wants us to obey the plan of salvation. And so tonight we're going to take a look at the things that Jesus actually said in regard to the plan of salvation and the Great Commission itself. Well, the Great Commission is a beautiful statement, but it's not just one statement. It's not just found in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, but also in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and in Luke 24 and verses 44 through 49. And in Acts chapter 1 and verses 3 through 8, you see there was a period of time in which Jesus gave instructions to his disciples after his resurrection. And so Jesus was raised the Sunday after Passover. And when he was raised from the dead, then there was a period of time in which he appeared to the disciples on the earth. And he didn't ascend into heaven until 40 days later, and that was 10 days before the day of Pentecost, which came in Acts chapter 2. Nevertheless, Jesus spent a period of time on the earth after his resurrection. It was during that period of time that he gave instruction to his disciples. And some of those instructions are found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and in those other passages that we mentioned earlier. Paul recounts in 1 Corinthians 15 how Jesus appeared to Peter and then to John and to the rest of the apostles and to all the disciples and to above 500 brethren at one time. And so he was continuing to give these marching orders, if you will, to his disciples as to what they were going to be doing after he ascended into heaven. Now, primarily, he was talking to the apostles because the apostles were the leaders of the early church. But nevertheless, these instructions applied to all who were going to be Christians that would hear the gospel and would believe it and would obey it. And so let's look at some of the things that Jesus said. And I think it's important that we realize that when we talk about the plan of salvation that Jesus gave, that we're talking about instructions that Jesus left for us to do in order to know that we are saved. All right? And that's an important thing to understand because sometimes people believe that they're saved when they haven't really done what Jesus said to do. And it's important that we do what Jesus said to do because if we're going to be Christians, we're going to take the name of Christ. Don't you think that it would be wise to do what Christ told us to do? I think that would be a wise thing. I think that would be a good thing. And I think that would be important for us to practice within our life. And so let's look at what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Now, the expression Great Commission is a theological expression. It's not really an expression that you find in the Bible per se, but it simply is referring to the mission that Jesus gave his disciples after his resurrection. And that mission we call the Great Commission. And that's when Jesus commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature. Right? That's the basic idea. And that's found in several different places. So in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, let's read that passage together. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In Mark chapter 16, in verses 15 through 20, there Jesus has these words to say to his disciples. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 through 49. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And then let's skip over to Acts chapter 1 and verses 3 through 8 real quick. Acts chapter 1 and verses 3 through 8. And here we read, this is Acts chapter 1 starting in verse 3, "To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So there's the evidence that Jesus was among them for 40 days and he talked about the kingdom of God with them. "And being assembled together," this is verse 4, "with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons for which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" And so these are the passages of Scripture that we have where Jesus is recorded as giving instruction to his disciples as to what they were going to be doing in carrying out his desires to preach the gospel to the whole world. And in this instruction, in these set of words, we find what Jesus wants us to do in order to obey him and in order to become a Christian. And that's what we were talking about earlier, this basic plan of salvation that Jesus gives. And so, as we look at what Jesus specifically said, we're going to note five basic things, okay? First of all, that there has to be a situation where the gospel is being preached and it's being heard by those who need to obey it. And so we have to hear the message of the gospel that is being preached. Number two, it is necessary for individuals who want to become Christians, to follow Christ, to be disciples of Christ, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, so that's number two. Number three is that those who are going to follow Jesus need to repent of their sins, right? And then number four, that those who follow Jesus are going to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and that they're going to live a life that is consistent with that confession. And then finally, those who follow Jesus are going to be baptized for the remission of sins. And these five things that we commonly sum up as hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized are the things that Jesus taught for one to become a Christian. Now look, you can teach these things to other people, all right? Now this isn't that hard to do. And all you got to do really is know three basic texts. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 through 20, and Luke 24, 44 through 49, okay? That's really all you got to know. And you can tell someone else what they need to do to become a child of God. Not what you tell them to do, but what Jesus told them to do, okay? Now that's important because we're all supposed to be followers of Jesus, right? And sometimes people claim to be followers of Jesus, but they don't do what Jesus says to do. And so we've got to really look at what Jesus said in order to do what Jesus wants us to do. And that starts with obeying Jesus in regard to the plan for our having forgiveness of sins and thereby being saved. So let's think about that for a minute from these various different scriptures that we've looked at. First of all, note that there is in these records of Jesus' words that Jesus wants the gospel to be taken to others. He wants it to be preached and he wants it to be heard. And that's step number one, hear the gospel, right? In Matthew's account, we read, "Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit," and what? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," right? So we've got to go to all the nations, we've got to take the gospel to everyone, and we've got to teach that gospel. And then the implication is that there will be some people there who will hear it. Listen to Mark's account where Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is, there's no one to be accepted by that. Everyone is to be a subject of hearing the gospel. And so we're supposed to make sure that we preach the gospel to everyone. There's no exceptions. And so Jesus wants us to do just that. And where there's preaching, there's going to be hearing. And then Luke records Jesus saying that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice again that it is to be preached. So if you look at these three scriptures that we've given, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 through 20, and then Luke 24, verses 44 through 46, then you can see that the gospel is to be preached and it is to be heard. And that's the first step in this plan that Jesus gives. Now, this first step is, in fact, hearing the gospel, preaching the gospel, and then those hearing it. And Paul gives us some inspired commentary on that in Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15 when he says this, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not," listen to it, "heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And so we need to be out there preaching and teaching the gospel to others, and we need to be bringing the glad tidings to others, and we need to be telling people what Jesus said to do in preaching and teaching that gospel. And we can do that simply by looking at the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Luke 24, 44 through 46, okay? So, we need to preach the gospel so that others hear that gospel. And then, step number two is that people need to believe the gospel. We need to teach others to believe the gospel. Listen to what Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 16. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So there's belief involved. And what do they have to believe? They have to believe the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, right? So that we can be forgiven of sins. That's the good news. And so people need to hear and they need to believe the gospel. Now he said in Matthew 28, verse 20, that we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now does that mean that we've got to go through every single book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at all the words that are in red and teach those to somebody? No, that doesn't mean that. But what does it mean? It means that somebody's got to make a commitment to observe all the things that Jesus commanded. If they want to be a Christian, they're going to make that commitment and they're going to do what Jesus said to do. Jesus wants them to obey him. He wants them to observe all things, whatever I command you. And that's what we're supposed to teach. We're supposed to teach others that when they believe, that they're making a commitment to observe the things that Jesus said to do. And believing in Jesus means to do exactly that, okay? It doesn't mean that, oh yeah, I believe Jesus is a real person, but that doesn't have anything to do with my life. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that Jesus can make a difference for me. That his teaching means something. And that I need to put it into practice within my life. And that's what real faith is. Real faith is a commitment to Jesus. Committing to observing all things whatsoever he has commanded us to do. And so that's what we read also. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21... that when he went out to tell others about the gospel, that he testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and listen to it, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have faith in Jesus if we want to obey the gospel, if we want to become a child of God, if we want to become a Christian, we've got to believe in Jesus. But then Jesus said that we've got to repent of our sins. Now Luke records that in Luke 24 and verse 47. When Jesus says that that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in my name among all the nations. Okay? So Jesus wants us to preach repentance in his name. Now not just any repentance. Not just, you know, well, I'm getting in trouble, so I'm going to change until I'm not in trouble anymore, and I'll go back to doing just whatever I want to do. That's the sorrow of the world that works death, but it's not godly sorrow. Jesus wants us to have godly sorrow. He wants us to really repent, which means to change our mind with the result that our life will be reformed. And that's what he wants. And so repentance is part of what Jesus taught. And the apostles knew that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those who were standing there were convicted that they had crucified the Son of God, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what was Peter's response? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Now they were to repent at that time. They were to repent of their sins and commit themselves to God. So repentance is involved in the plan of salvation. And then in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, there again the Apostle Paul says that he showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works that are suitable for repentance. And so repentance is part of the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said that we had to preach repentance in the Great Commission. The Apostle Paul said that that's what he preached when he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter preached repentance. All the apostles preached repentance. Repentance is part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've got to teach others to repent of their sins. And then we've got to teach others that they need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, a lot of times people will, up to this point, they will say, "Well, yes, I understand the idea that you've got to hear the gospel of Christ. That's good. I believe that. I accept that. You certainly need to listen to what Jesus says. No problem there." And then they will say, "Well, I understand that you've got to believe the gospel of Christ. I've got to have faith in Jesus. If I want Jesus to save me, then I've got to believe in him." And many people will go along with that and they'll agree with that. And then many people will say, "Well, yes, I know that I need to repent of my sins." And that may be a little tougher for some because they may have some things that they don't want to let go of. And that's really where it becomes difficult, that you're expected to change in order to become a disciple of Christ. You can't stay in your old sinful lifestyle and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You've got to change. You've got to become, you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to give those things up and take on the identity of Jesus. But then when we get to baptism, That is something where a lot of people have a sticking point, where they say, well, I was taught, you know, that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Or people will say, well, I just don't see the need to be baptized to be saved. There are a lot of people who will say things like that. And they'll say, well, I've put my faith in Jesus. I've trusted in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Why shouldn't that be enough? And here's the simple answer. It's not enough because Jesus said it wasn't enough. And if Jesus said it wasn't enough, then it's not enough. And that's very simple to understand, and it's very clear. Now, we don't want to be in the position of challenging Jesus on this. He's the one that we've pledged to believe. He's the one that's commanded us to repent. What really is the case when we get to baptism and we say, well, I'm not going to be baptized because I don't think it's necessary. Well, then the truth of the matter is that you haven't repented and you haven't really believed Jesus either. Because Jesus is the one who commanded it, and he's the one who gave it to us to teach and to preach to others. What does the record say in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20? Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now it's interesting that there is, in this sentence, there are two participles. The first participle is baptizing them. The second participle is teaching them. But the main verb is make disciples. Now these two participles that are in this sentence, for you English grammar people out there, these two participles explain how you make the disciples. All right? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. How? By baptizing them and by teaching them. Now that's how it's done. And that's why those two participles are listed there in reference to the main verb. Because the participles describe how to get the job of the main verb done. In other words, you can't make a disciple without baptizing them. You can't make a disciple without teaching them. They've got to be taught. And they've got to be baptized in order for them to be a disciple. And if a person hasn't been baptized, then they're just not a disciple of Christ. And that's all there is to it, because that's what Jesus said. And we've got to go with what Jesus said, not what our opinion is, and not what the world's opinion are, or what the theologian's opinions are, or my preacher, or my pastor, or the reverend, or whoever. It's what Jesus said. That's what we've got to go with. And so Jesus said you make disciples by baptizing them and by teaching them. And so that's what we've got to go with. Now he makes it very clear in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. When he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that he that believeth not shall be condemned. And sometimes people will say, oh, you see, but he didn't say that he who is not baptized will be condemned. And that's because Jesus didn't have to say that, because if you're not going to believe, you're certainly not going to be baptized. Why would you be baptized if you didn't even believe? You wouldn't even take that extra step to be baptized if you didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. If I were to tell you Jesus is the Son of God and he commands you to repent, and you say, well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What are you not going to do? You're not going to repent. If I were to say Jesus is the Son of God and he said, go preach the gospel to all the world. And you said, well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not going to go preach the gospel to all the world. Well, if I said to you, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you need to be baptized. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're not going to be baptized. Just like you're not going to repent and just like you're not going to preach the gospel to the whole world. And so there's no need for Jesus to say he that is not baptized is going to be condemned, because he's already covered it when he said he that believeth not will be condemned. And by the way, if you're not baptized, if you refuse to be baptized for the remission of sins like Jesus said to do, then basically you've expressed disbelief in Jesus anyway by not obeying him. And so we've got to obey Jesus, and we've got to do what he says if we want to be his disciples and if we want to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what's the formula for salvation? It's belief plus baptism equals salvation. Now, a lot of people get it wrong, and they will say, I believe, and then therefore I'm saved, and then I can be baptized. And so they say, faith plus nothing equals salvation, and then you can be baptized. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then other people say, I don't have to believe. When I'm baptized, I'm saved. And so that's what happens with, infant baptism sometimes. They say, you're saved when you're baptized, whether you believe or not. So that says he that's baptized is saved and then can believe. But that's not what Jesus said either. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so we want to do both of those things. And we want to let that stand for what Jesus said. Because that is what Jesus said. And we need to follow what Jesus said within our life. And so we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And so as we go through the plan of salvation, you'll notice that we are supposed to hear the gospel, we're supposed to believe the gospel, we're supposed to repent of sins, and we're supposed to be baptized. Well, what about confessing Jesus as the Son of God? Well, if you'll turn to if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment, in verses 32 and 33, Jesus there says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And basically the idea here is that we're going to live our life for Jesus. Confession is not only from the lips, but it's also from the life. We confess with our lips, but we live with our life, that confession, each and every day. And each one of these steps of salvation is something that we do onward. It's not something that we just do once and forget about it, so to speak. We are supposed to hear and keep on hearing the gospel. We're supposed to believe and keep on believing the gospel. We're supposed to repent and keep on repenting any time that we have a problem within our life that we need to repent. We're supposed to confess Jesus and keep on confessing him every day. And we're supposed to be baptized, which is what? Putting to death the old man of sin, and we're supposed to be putting that old man of sin to death every single day. And so while we're just baptized in the water once, what we're doing and putting to death the old man of sin, we've got to practice it every day from that point forward. And that's why Paul talks about baptism with so many people in the New Testament, especially in Romans chapter 6, Colossians chapter 2, and also Peter talks about it, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 and following. So baptism is something that we've got to be involved in. So you see, just from these few scriptures, and I know I've used more to kind of support the point, but really all you need are these few scriptures in order to teach someone else what Jesus said about salvation. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48. And if you'll just remember those three scriptures, then you'll get that Jesus wants us to preach the gospel and he wants us to hear the gospel. He wants us to believe the gospel. He wants us to believe that he is the Son of God. He wants us to repent of our sins. And he wants us to be baptized so that we can be saved. Now that is a really very simple plan. We refer to that as the plan of salvation sometimes. And what we mean by that is that we have some steps that we need to take in order to assure our salvation, in order to know that we are saved. And so tonight, if you haven't gone through those steps and you'd like to do that this very evening, then we'd be happy to assist you in that. Perhaps you've heard the gospel and you've believed it. You've repented of sin. You are willing to confess Jesus Christ and you want to be baptized tonight to assure yourself that you are saved. And the water is ready and we're ready to help you in that regard. If you're a Christian and you need to repent of some sin within your life, as we talked about earlier, that repentance is something that we've got to do every single day. We've got to work on that, and we've got to find those sins within our life, and we've got to repent of them, and we've got to keep on doing that. And maybe you need prayers in order to help to do that. Sometimes people come forward and ask for prayers of the church in that regard, and we're here to pray for you. We'll be happy to pray with you and for you that your sins may be forgiven and that you can renew your life to put to death those things in your life that are causing you problems and causing stumbling blocks for others perhaps. And so whatever your need may be, you can come now and respond to the Lord's invitation while we stand and sing.